Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Very excited to have you with us here this evening or this morning, wherever you might be. It's Wednesday, February 21st, 2007, about 1 minute past 1 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. I'm glad you're aboard. Now, welcome to all of you listening on shortwave frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at www.republicbroadcasting.org, as well as franklyspeakingradio.com. Our phone number, as I mentioned, 800-313-9443. Today's the big day, by the way. It's the day when the UN Security Council will be meeting to figure out what they're going to do about Iran refusing to comply with their 60-day deadline to cease all uranium enrichment activities. Now, we'll talk about that here in the news segments. But last story I just wanted to highlight for you here, and this is about the water, too. I just found it during the last break. LiveScience.com, October 23rd, 2006. DNA that helped make germs resistant to medicines may increasingly be appearing as a pollutant in the water. This DNA was even found, quote, in treated drinking water, end quote, said researcher Amy Pruden, an environmental engineer at Colorado State University in Fort Collins. The spread of this DNA could exacerbate the already growing problem of drug resistance among potentially infectious microbes. Diseases once considered eradicated, such as tuberculosis, are making alarming comebacks. Currently, more than 2 million Americans are infected each year by resident germs, and 14,000 die as a result, according to the WHO. Said Pruden, quote, I personally have known people with antibiotic-resistant infections, and they can be very scary, end quote. While antibiotics kill off many germs that have no resistance over them, they also prompt the spread of microbes that are resistant. The overprescription or other improper use of these drugs helps these resistant infections emerge, but experts also note that 95% of antibiotics are excreted by humans and animals unaltered, seeping into the environment and encouraging antibiotic resistance there. Now, this ties in with our guest tonight, Debbie Morrow. It ties in with our guest last night, Glenn Parnham. This is vital that you understand this. Pruden's new research did not focus on the presence of antibiotics in the environment. Instead, she looked for the presence of genes that help confer drug resistance to the germs in the first place. Pruden and her colleagues focused on genes conferring resistance against two antibiotics, tetracycline and sulfonamide. Never heard of that. Which are linked to urban and farm activity. They investigated a range of northern Colorado waters from relatively pristine water sediments to water from dairy lagoons and irrigation ditches. They also looked at water from drinking water treatment plants and effluents from a wastewater recycling plant. The levels of antibiotic-resistant genes were hundreds to thousands of times higher in waters directly impacted by urban or farm activity than in relatively pristine water. Still, the research discovered the presence of antibiotic-resistance genes in all waters tested. That's important. Everything they tested, whether it was near a factory, whether it was an irrigation ditch, whether it was near a farm, or whether it was just out in the wilderness of Colorado, they tested it, all waters. And Pruden went on to explain, quote, wastewater treatment systems are not designed to treat antibiotic-resistant genes. So another key element to pay attention to these things, because, again, as we've talked about, you can add silver to just about anything, and the water that you drink, even if the municipality or the well that you get it from, and people assure you that it's safe, why take their word for it? If somebody said, "Hey, look, I'm going to give you $1 billion," what's your first reaction? What's the catch, right? So when somebody tells you your water's safe to drink, do you believe them? It's kind of a higher gamble than will you get $1 million or $1 billion or not. It's just one of those things, folks. It's vital that people do their own research and figure out what it is that they need or is lacking, perhaps, as far as their good health or continuing good health, as the case may be. Obviously, we're up to another break. Please stay with us. We'll be back, and we'll dive into some news when we return with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Please stay with us.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights features featuring super bright, super tough, long life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called Wrist Ease, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. Wrist Ease comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, Wrist Ease is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. Wrist Ease is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wrist Ease provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wrist Ease now at wristease.com. That's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE, wristease.com. Once again, that's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE.com.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, my friends. I'm your host, Frank Will. Glad you're here. So a lot of big changes going on in the world, and I think that if you've looked at it sort of with a broad perspective, as well as a narrow perspective, you probably have seen a lot of things I've seen, and a lot of things we've talked about here in our news coverage, which we try to do on a regular basis here on the program. Sometimes the phones just keep us busy, and I'm thrilled with that. I can do news. I can just babble off the top of my head, or I can talk to you, or we can talk to guests. It doesn't matter to me. I'm happy to kind of mix it up a little bit of everything. But at the same time, there is more than sufficient news to carry us for, honestly, if we did eight-hour programs a day, we could still do that just fine. There's plenty. Absolutely. One of the things that maybe you've heard about, more likely than not you haven't, from the International Herald Tribune came out Monday, and it says, a disturbing recent phenomenon in Washington is that laws that strike to the heart of American democracy have been passed in the dead of night. So it was, with a provision quietly tucked into the enormous defense budget bill at the Bush administration's behest that makes it easier for a president to override local control of law enforcement and declare martial law. Did you pay attention to that? It is now easier for the president to override local control of law enforcement and declare martial law. This is something we've been watching for about 6 years or longer, certainly since September 11th, with the idea of posse comitatus being in place, and that would have to be overturned before they could start doing some things like, you know, basically grabbing guns and so on and so forth. And anyway, it's done. We're there officially. The provision signed into law in October weakens two obscure but important bulwarks of liberty. One is the doctrine that bars military forces, including a federalized National Guard, from engaging in law enforcement activities. Called posse comitatus, it was enshrined in law after the Civil War to preserve the line between civil government and the military. The other is the Insurrection Act of 1807, which provides the major exemptions to posse comitatus. It essentially limits a president's use of the military and law enforcement to putting down lawlessness, insurrection, and rebellion where a state is violating federal law or depriving people of constitutional rights. Well, that's gone now. So the president used to only be able to use the military for law enforcement purposes, putting down lawlessness, insurrection, and rebellion, or people being deprived of constitutional rights. Well, we're all being deprived of constitutional rights, but I doubt the president is going to call down the military to put down his reign. It's unlikely that he would use it in that way. But again, folks, it's not surprising at all. It could be frightening, of course, to those without some sort of faith, maybe, to get them through moments like this. And the thing that should be most frightening to you is this. Again, as we discussed last night, Hillary Clinton's not going to repeal this. This is it's a gradual process. As we watch the pendulum swing from extreme to extreme all throughout presidential reigns, and certainly over the last couple, Bush, Clinton, Bush, and presumably Clinton again, they're just passing laws to grease the wheels for the next person, and that's just how it's going to be. So, you know, Hillary is going to be thrilled with all this power. As we mentioned, she's going to have to throw her weight around. She's going to have to prove she's not just a girl, okay? She is a woman in authority, not a girl. So she's going to have some people to impress and points to prove. And now she's got authority to do that and more, certainly. The newly enacted provisions upset the careful balance. They shift the focus from making sure that federal laws are enforced to restoring public order. Beyond cases of actual insurrection, the president may now use military troops as a domestic police force in response to a natural disaster, a disease outbreak, a terrorist attack, or to any, quote, other condition, end quote. That's interesting. Natural disaster, disease outbreak, terrorist attack, or anything else, in essence. Now, we've talked about natural disasters, we've talked about disease, and we've talked about terrorism. All very likely panic-inducing scenarios, all very likely to, in essence, take us to a military dictatorship, as Tommy Franks told us about, what was it, in December of 03? I think it was December of 03, maybe in 02. Cigar Aficionado magazine. It's a vital piece of the puzzle and something every one of you should have read. Hopefully you have. And if you have, then you know that this is a guy who's in the know. And he basically said, yeah, if we have any sort of incident, massive loss of life on our soil or one of our allies, then basically Constitution's in the trash and we've got a military dictatorship. And it was very matter of fact. So, in that regard, any other condition, that could be just about anything, honestly. So, this is very, very interesting. And that was beyond cases of actual insurrection. Now, insurrection could be anything. That could be militia groups. It could be constitutionalists. Could be anybody who's just looking to, you know, stand up and say, hey, I oppose you. And I suggest that we overthrow the government of this town or this state or this country. Guess what? Well, now you know what's coming for you. Now, you can make the case that the military, for the most part, is not even around, but there are always going to be some. So watch for that. It's an important story. But it goes on. Changes of this magnitude should be made only after a thorough public airing, but these new presidential powers were slipped into the law without hearings or public debate. The president made no mention of the changes when he signed the measure, and neither the White House nor Congress consulted in advance with the country's governors. Very interesting. Because again, my friends, you would think we saw a lot of backlash from the governors all around the country to the Real ID Act of 2005, which they say will be implemented by 2008. And there still is a lot of opposition, and I think that's great. You got to have a little bit of opposition, a little bit of people sort of stirring up some anger at the idea of some sort of standardized driver's license or national ID card, as I would prefer to call it, because that's technically exactly what it is. This Real ID Act, anyway, causes a lot of contention among the governors. Now, you'd say, well, why is that? These guys are all in on it, aren't they? And the answer, of course, is yes, they're definitely all in on it. But at the same time, they realize that this disturbs the delicate balance of people's everyday lives, having to get a new driver's license, having to get bring documentation in order to get this license, being a part of databases, having biometric driver's licenses and various things like that. You know, this is a massive inconvenience. It's never convenient to go to the DMV. It's never easy, and it's never fun. This just makes it worse. And they realize that, and they also realize that some of those governors are going to be up for re-election, I guess probably all of them, I guess, by the time this thing should roll around sometime around 2008. So they're very concerned and cognizant of that. So that is going to directly affect the voters. So they're going to make some noise about it, but ultimately they'll probably acquiesce. And I hope they don't, but they probably will. But this story about the posse comitatus, people, you know, for the most part, generally have no fear of the military being used in law enforcement or natural disaster or disease outbreaks. They'd welcome it. They've seen movies like Outbreak, where you see the military jeeps driving down the road and the military hustling people out. They've seen movies like Deep Impact, where the giant asteroid is about to hit the Earth, and you see the bus pull up and the military guys get out and usher the lucky few who are allowed to survive in this underground mountain-entombed little facility. And certainly they've seen movies like, you know, Red Dawn or something like that, where the military is out on the streets, you know, trying to help us or whatever. So, you know, people have seen all this in the popular culture. They've been conditioned to accept these things. We saw the military presence somewhat in Katrina, okay, on the news. It was all over the place. Now, whether or not they did so effectively, it's a matter of debate, but odds are they were probably had their hands tied behind their back by the administration, the powers that be, in order to virtually open up the new playground for the rich up and coming. Now, you look at an area that's predominantly poor. People who have had homesteads passed down from family to family, generation to generation, dating back to the time when they were freed slaves. And in essence, they're saying, yeah, let's just clear these people out of here. I know they've been here for, you know, hundreds of years, and they've got roots, and they own the property outright. And it's just not working out for us. You know, we're not making money. But let's go ahead and clear these people out, and then you've got, you know, obviously a new and improved playground for the rich. And I don't know. I'm just kind of, you know, going off on a tangent here. But again, you see what I'm saying. We did see the military in place during Katrina, and not just our military either. Well, that's another story. Story goes on. This is a bipartisan bill. There is a bipartisan bill introduced by Senators Patrick Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, and Christopher Bond, Republican of Missouri, and backed unanimously by the nation's governors that would repeal the stealthy revisions. Congress should pass it. If changes of this kind are proposed in the future, they must get a full and open debate. So the governors are apparently supporting this bill, and we'll see if it actually goes anywhere. It might be much like the Democrats, like, we're going to pass a resolution against Bush sending more troops to Iraq. Of course, it's a non-binding and therefore absolutely pointless measure and waste of taxpayer dollars as we attempt to pretend that we're doing something for the public good and the public interest, when in actuality it's just a big dog and pony show. So what's interesting about this is that if this thing were to legitimately gain traction, this opposing bill that would strike down these new and improved violations to our constitutional rights, odds are we probably would have a quote-unquote incident, something that would make these measures that were, you know, basically passed in the dead of night necessary. And you could convince anybody, of course, who's a loyal, patriotic American that, yeah, our country needs the tools to protect us. And unless the military can be law enforcement officers, well, gosh, then we aren't safe. You can see where it would go from there. I think I don't need to spell it out any further. But I did mention, just moving on here, and again, that's a very, very important story, which, again, some of you maybe have heard and some of you maybe have not. But we talked about foreign troops on our soil in the midst of natural disaster. We did see that during Katrina, Mexican troops, Canadian troops, and probably others. But we did bring you those stories as it was happening. That will lead me to my next story, which we will continue when we return in about 3 minutes, folks. So please stay with us for more Frankly Speaking Radio.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. So I mentioned about foreign troops on our soil, and, of course, as close to our soil as humanly possible. We'll be right there on the U.S.-Mexico border. That's exactly what's happening. From the San Antonio Express, February 19th. Ratcheting up its fight against drug cartels, the Mexican government announced Sunday that it is deploying about 3,300 troops and police to 2 besieged states bordering Texas. Some 2,035 soldiers, 750 sailors, and 518 federal police officers are being dispatched to the states which hug the Texas border from the Gulf of Mexico to just west of Laredo. Drug gangs have been fighting for months in the region, especially around Nuevo Laredo, for control of smuggling routes into the United States. Recently, Monterrey, Nuevo León's capital, has been plagued by drug violence, including the killing of as many as 7 police officers. Soldiers on Sunday set up roadside checkpoints in and around Monterrey to stop vehicles and search for weapons and drugs. Since taking office on December 1st, President Felipe Calderon has ordered about 24,000 troops and federal police into Tijuana, Acapulco, and Michoacan State to root out growing drug trafficking that is blamed for more than 2,000 killings last year. Although the troops and police made dozens of arrests, burned drug crops, confiscated weapons, and inspected tens of thousands of people, they have not made any major cocaine seizures or arrested major players. Now, is that surprising at all to any of you? Well, I would say absolutely not. So if you're looking for big Coke dealers, I guarantee you they're not smuggling it across the border in, you know, a pound here, a pound there. They're not just sticking, you know, some cocaine in the trunk of their car and then running across the border trying to get, I've been busted. I mean, if you're talking about big, major players, yeah, well, they would probably be flying or something like that. Whatever it is that the government's using to collect their cocaine. Meaning our government. The State Department has cautioned Americans to be careful traveling anywhere in Mexico. Meanwhile, in the Pacific resort town of Acapulco, 500 people marched Sunday to demand an end to a wave of violent crimes and executions there, many blamed on turf battles between drug gangs. There have been at least 250 homicides in Acapulco over the last 14 months. That's quite a few. So, I mentioned this in terms of foreign troops on U.S. soil. Again, there has been a precedent. We saw it in Katrina. Mexican and Canadian troops on U.S. soil, which, again, is much like the, you know, get a little taste of this North American Union that's coming. So watch for that. Now, the other thing that's of interest, if you read some of the stories talking about Border Patrol incidents that have come up in the past, quite a few times they have mentioned Mexican military being involved. Now, the Mexican government would say, no, they just have a uniform and claiming to be officially sanctioned members of the government, you know, the government's military. But that's not true. Now, do we believe that or not? I don't know. But the point is now they're very, very close to the border. How much of that, and again, when you think about all the corruption and all the problems that are, you know, certainly taking place all over the world, but Mexico known for that. I mean, anybody that's ever been to Mexico and heard the horror stories about people dealing with the dirty cops and things like that, you know that these guys can probably be bribed. Which means that, you know, they've not arrested any major players. Well, I wonder why. Another reason. But again, this begs the question, are they there to escort the major players across the border, perhaps? I don't know. But the point is they're there, right there on the border of Texas. Should they need to for some reason, cross into the United States, either to, of course, assist us or invade us. Or something in the middle. Now you're saying, well, come on, Frank, you're being a conspiracy theorist. No, I'm not. I'm just saying that if they wanted to invade us, they're right there. Plain and simple. I mean, you've got these Border Patrol guys. They already say that they're overwhelmed with the occasional drug or human smuggler. What about 3,300 Mexican troops just hanging out there on the border of Texas? Does anybody feel safe about that? Oh, they're just trying to bust the druggies. Oh, silly me. Moving on, this is another story sort of indicating where we're all going and what's happening here. And again, the pattern of events in these stories is sort of taking you on a grand tour of world events, sort of what's happening around the world, what is significant, and why. Okay, so we've covered those stories. This is a different direction, but equally important, I believe, from the BBC, and it came out on the 20th, so earlier today, technically. Prime Minister Tony Blair is expected to announce a timetable for the withdrawal of UK troops from Iraq. Whoa, the British are pulling out of Iraq? This is huge news. Not so much. Mr. Blair is due to make a statement about the 7,000 British troops serving in Iraq at the Commons on Wednesday. The BBC's James Lansdale said 1,500 troops were expected to return home in months, rising to 3,000 by Christmas. Downing Street has not confirmed the reports, but Whitehall sources have told the BBC the process could be slowed down if the situation in Iraq worsens. Translation, yes, we're going to start pulling our troops out, but only if the situation is stable enough where we can do so, which means that they're not going to be pulling out. I think that's safe to say, do you not? I mean, if the situation is so bad in Iraq that we need almost 100,000 additional U.S. troops, which is what they're talking about, of course, well, then in essence, it doesn't sound to me like it's a good time for the British to pull out. Now, granted, they're, you know, in one location, not looking at the whole country, but still, nevertheless, this Iraq withdrawal timetable is mostly just smoke and mirrors. And much like Bush saying, well, in order to win Iraq, what do we have to do? Well, the Iraq study group says, talk to Iran and do this and this and this and put in more troops. And Bush is like, well, I hate all of these suggestions. They're all terrible. But I suppose I'll acquiesce on the more troops to Iraq idea. Dog and Pony Show, as I said. Folks, stay with us. We're back in three.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, attention everyone, a brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're here. We're covering quite a bit of news here this evening. You're more than welcome to weigh with your thoughts. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. So, wrapping up this story here. It says BBC political correspondent James Landale said, quote, "We have been expecting an announcement for some time on this. However," he said, reports that all the troops will have returned home by the end of 2008 was, quote, "not a fair representation of what is true at the moment," end quote. Translation, when they said, yes, we'll announce a timetable, what they mean is they're going to say, we'll start bringing the troops home as soon as the situation stabilizes, and it looks fairly stable, so this will be a good thing. However, if they get worse, we're going to stay. That's pretty much the story. Our correspondent said senior Whitehall sources had told him that the pullout was, quote, slightly slower than they had expected, and, quote, if conditions worsen, this process could still slow up. Very, very interesting, is it not? And there's more. Let's go to the phones, 800-313-9443. Gary in Tennessee, I believe. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Frank. How you doing?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Well, you said something got my hackles up a little bit.
Okay.
Perpetuating the urban myth of constitutional rights, Bill of Rights, and all the other stuff that goes along with that. There is such a document in the archives, but you have no access to it. Now, you go into any courtroom in the United States, you will see a gold fringe flag up there. You will be talking to an administrator acting under the color of law who is going by uniform commercial code, rules, regulations, codes, etc., etc. So if you bring up your constitutional rights in that court of law, he says, that does not apply in this venue. I'm telling you this, it's the truth. You're not the only person talk show that's making this mistake.
Well, actually, just let me jump in here, Gary. I know what you're talking about, and I'm familiar with it, and I'm not saying all the particular legalisms in the course of making a statement about our rights, because quite simply, most people don't know the things that you're talking about. So in most people's minds, and this show primarily is geared towards the newbie. I've always said that. You know, we try to gear this towards people who don't know all the things that you know, you know, for example. And actually, you can go back further than that if you want to really make the point. And the point would be that the definitions of authority by the King of England that were written about in the Declaration of Independence are the exact same powers. Now, these are labeled as tyrannical power in the Declaration of Independence. Those exact same words are the power given to Congress in the Constitution. So, you know, whether or not people think they have rights, or they, or whether or not we actually have rights or we do not, the point is that, you know, the appearance is there.
We have the rights, but we just don't have access to them. I'll just kind of simplify things
there you
a
go.
Little bit. As far as there are ways of limiting jurisdiction and limiting their powers or their access to you by filing certain paperwork that allows you to become no more but not less than a 13th Amendment citizen. But 99.99% of the American people are 14th Amendment citizens. You have no rights, you have privileges. And you get those privileges by the grace of the government and by buying licenses, et cetera, et cetera. So let's just drop that one there. I got a really big surprise. Unbeknownst to me, the government signed me up for Medicare and Medicaid. And I got this little card through the mail, and I thought, well, this sounds like a pretty good deal. So they told me they were deducting $100 out of my Social Security check. Okay, I was at $800 a month. That put me $3,000 below the poverty level. Now they're taking another $100 a month out, so that puts me at $4,000 below the poverty level. Okay, so I go into a doctor. I go to a doctor twice a year, get a six-month prescription, and pay the man his $80. That's cool. Well, I find out that I get Medicare and Medicaid mixed up, but the doctor thing, there's a $150 deductible. So I got to pay him $150 before that $1,200 thing I'm paying for kicks in.
Wow.
Now, the next thing, I go to the drugstore, and my two prescriptions that I get every month are less than $50, so I hand them my Medicaid card. They said, well, I don't see any Part D on here. You get no benefits from that. This is worthless to me. So I don't know what that's going to cost me. So basically, I could go to a hospital and charge up a big bill, and one of those two would pay for that. But I would just as soon go get a good physical, run up one hell of a big Medicare, Medicaid bill with the doctor, get all my blood work done, test, find out really how sick I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then just tell the Social Security people, I'm sorry, I can't afford this.
Mm-hmm.
And then take that $1,200 and buy the homeopathic things that will cure me. Doctors, they treat the symptoms. They cure nothing. Now, if I got a broken arm or a broken leg or I hit my foot with or an axe or cut my arm half off with a knife, yeah, they can stitch it back together. You know, that's cool. Or I can go to a dentist and get a cavity filled if I can afford it. So the bottom line is the government's taking back $1,200 a year, and I'm still paying money out of my pocket, and I ain't getting a penny's worth of benefit for it. And I'm sure that I'm not the only old man that's 65 years old that's facing this. And I just would hope that maybe somebody might call in and say, yeah, I'm getting the same deal, because that's the deal I got, and I don't like that deal.
Yeah.
Do you have any comment on that?
Other than to say that it's probably going to get worse, my friend, if only because one of Hillary Clinton's obviously pet projects is universal medical care. You know, and this is forcibly applying the insurance, people to carry some amount of insurance. Now, what they've said in essence is that if you are below a certain level, then it will be provided to you. But if you're even $1 above, like that poverty level, for example, you're going to be required to carry some medical insurance, which obviously takes you substantially below the poverty level, but they don't care about that. And this is being implemented already on a statewide basis. It's up in Massachusetts, and it's deemed to be a great success. And if you don't, the punishment for not carrying insurance, the punishment is $1,000 that they will deduct from your tax return or add to your tax bill. That's the way I understand.
If you're unemployed and you're living off Social Security, I don't think they're going to tax me, and I don't think they're going to deduct squat. See, I'm in a box. I'm in a dilemma here. That the bottom line is, if they're taking back $1,200, and I'm not getting nothing for it, besides taking more money out of my pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree, my friend. It's a big problem.
I wanted to bring this up. Maybe your listening audience are going through the same thing I'm going through, but my best guess is to go in and get one hell of a physical, all the tests I can get done, let them pay for it, and then cancel the whole works. And then I got four homeopathic medications. I don't call them medications. They're herbs, you know, that type of thing, that will keep me from having to go to a hospital. And I did go to a hospital, thought I was having a heart attack, and I was in there for an hour. You know what they charged me to walk through the emergency room door and lay on that bed?
Probably somewhere around $800.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Boy, you had that one right on.
Yeah,
and
well,
then a doctor
had my own experiences.
Comes in and talks to me for 5 minutes. That was $300. Then I got a chest x-ray. Then I had to pay somebody to read the x-ray. And then they screwed up my blood pressure. I had to make them take that twice because I knew those numbers were wrong. They couldn't even take my blood pressure correctly. And so I got a $1,350 bill for being there for an hour. Well, they sent me a bill. I ignored that. I didn't have the money to pay for it. And so then they sent bill collectors. I had a chat with the bill collector. Next thing I know, I'm talking to an attorney. I said, Mr. Attorney, you better get the paperwork I signed when I went into the hospital, and you'll find that my signature was a common law. I says, if you think you can take that signature and go into your UCC-1 court and sue me, good luck. He says, are you a lawyer? And I said, no, I'm not a lawyer. I know just enough about the law probably to get myself in a lot of trouble. But I says, I do know this thing. You can't take me to a UCC-1 court with that signature on that document. And so that goes back to your signature, jurisdiction, et cetera, et cetera. And I want to bring this point up, and hopefully maybe this will perk somebody's ears up out there, and they'll do the studying I've done as of the last 10 or 12 years. And God bless RBN for putting the host and the guests and the authors and the scientists and the medical people on the air that have given me this knowledge. I am quite knowledgeable, but I want to bring this up and rant and rave here a little bit and see if other people got this same problem.
Well, we'll see if we get any calls. But I would imagine, as I stated, my friend, that you're not alone. You know, I delved into the wonderful world of alternative medicine, which shouldn't be alternative. It's the only thing that actually works. Natural
exactly.
medicine might be the better way to put it. But, you know, that's the only way around all this garbage. And obviously you know about it. Obviously you're implementing it, and you're taking the knowledge that you have, and you're applying it. So good for you.
Well,
you're a success story.
I say take my $1,200 back to the government and buy my health care products and stay well.
Well, I hope you can pull that off, my friend. Let me know. I mean, I don't know if you can back out. I would think you'd be allowed to. You know, it should be optional, but I don't know.
Well, we're going to find out here real quick, George, or Frank.
Well, wonderful. Well, I look forward to that. Please keep us in the loop.
Thank you.
All right, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Fantastic. I've never heard of that. You know, that's Medicare, Medicaid, that kind of stuff. You know, a lot of people who need that, who want that, they got to jump through a lot of hoops to get approved for that. But then, you know, they'll say the powers that be look at somebody like Gary, and they're like, how can we take what little is left that he has and keep some of it? It's just like anything else. So no big surprise there at all whatsoever. But it is what it is. And again, everything that you hear on the show should be able to be processed and implemented in some capacity into your awareness, your knowledge, and hopefully you're able to practice some of it, if not all of it. I mean, there's a lot of people I've spoken with who are experts in their various fields. I will never be an expert in any one field because, well, I don't want to be, as a talk show host, I should say, I don't want to be a one-trick pony. You know what I mean? I don't want to be just an expert on one thing and really have nothing else to contribute to the conversation. I should be able to be versatile and well-versed enough to dance around from one subject to another, and we can do that, at least hopefully. Hopefully intelligibly or knowledgeably. But yes, to go back to Gary's original point, do we technically have constitutional freedoms? No. But I'm not here to argue the finer points of law and legalisms, because I think that at some point the main focus gets lost in those the minutiae of that sort of information. So what I would say in essence in regards to that is the point is they wouldn't be passing all these laws, okay, and in the cover of darkness at nighttime, basically tucked into little provisions, unless they were also the powers that be also trying to give the appearance that they are simply finding loopholes and whatnot in order to facilitate this agenda. Now, technically, could they just jump right in and say, ah, ha, ha, we fooled you for 200-something years, and you technically have no rights? Yeah, they technically probably could, but I don't think they would, because they know that those blatant and obvious actions would facilitate a massive, massive response on the part of the American people. So in essence, they do continue to jump through hoops that they probably don't need to, but they do it because they have to keep it looking legitimate. So because they are trying to play by the rules somewhat for the appearance of propriety's sake, so too should we, I think, to a certain extent, insofar as to saying, well, technically do we have rights or technically do we not have rights? It's immaterial. We should be upset by the very fact that they've passed this. Whether or not we had rights to begin with, the point is they're still trying to solidify their legal stranglehold on what freedoms people think we have. That's really what it's all about. But, folks, I've said this many, many times on the show, and I will reiterate it now. The powers that be in, you know, the U.S. government, in some foreign government, in global government, whatever the case is, they can pass their laws and they can try to control you, the person, but they do not own your spirit. They do not own that. Okay, that's yours and yours to do with as you please. So, as I always say, refuge in faith. Make sure you have your faith in the right place, of course, but ultimately, that's what it's all about. Have faith, and everything's going to be fine, and it's going to work out for Gary, and he's going to get all that stuff sorted out. He knows what he's talking about, and he knows what he needs to do, and he'll get it taken care of. But it sounds to me like he's got a pretty good handle on things. But again, as far as the legalisms go, we're not even going to delve into that other than, you know, topic-specific, because it's immaterial. The point is that to those who know no better, there are things out there that we must talk about and we must preserve. So anyway, stay with us. We'll be back in three.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
There's a man with a gun. Can we stop, children? Watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friend. Sailing of our third hour already. This hour, of course, being brought to you by the Survival Center, your one-stop shop for all things regarding preparedness. The Survival Center has everything. Now, typically, I say anything you might want or need, but I think it would be simpler to just say they pretty much have everything there. Go to the website if you don't believe me, www.survivalcenter.com, and maybe you are one of those people who thinks outside the box. Maybe you see some things that maybe should be on that website that they don't have. Well, give them a call and recommend something. They'll test it out and see if it deserves to be there. 800-321-2900. Fantastic stuff. All right, so when we left off, we were talking about Tony Blair and his withdrawal of British troops from Iraq and his withdrawal, his timetable, or rather his non-withdrawal and non-timetable. Very, very interesting. But that leads me to this story from the Islamic Republic News Agency, which came out earlier yesterday. The British government was criticized Tuesday for the way it summarily dismissed a parliamentary call last year for the Prime Minister to give up his controversial prerogative to take the country into war. Said the chair of the All-Party Constitution Committee, Lord Holme, quote, "The government has failed to think seriously about what is an issue of vital constitutional importance. Some senior cabinet figures, including the Prime Minister, have argued against a parliamentary convention requiring a vote on military action, while others appear to have a much more positive attitude to such a proposal," end quote. In essence, what he's saying is that they just dismissed it, they put it off, they ignored it, they delayed it quite a bit. And he's saying, look, there are some people in Tony Blair's cabinet who do want this, who think that, you know, the decision to go to war should not be made by one person. Now, in a report in July, the House of Lords Constitution Committee said the royal prerogative of the Prime Minister to declare war was, quote-unquote, outdated, and that the British Parliament should in the future have the final say in going to war. But the government did not respond to the initial report until November, and only then by way of a summary command paper, despite all assurance that replies would be made within 2 months. In dismissing the call, the government argued that the Prime Minister had to have the ability to respond to conflicts immediately and said that allowing a full parliamentary debate would only delay this too much. Well, that sounds exactly like some of the things that are talked about. Now, a lot of people said, oh, Iraq was an illegal war. Technically, it wasn't. That's the interesting thing about it. After September 11th, basically, Congress authorized the president to hunt down those responsible and to do what needed to be done. Well, gosh, could you write a bigger blank check? So as long as things are couched in the war on terror, which can be just about anything, he can pretty much wage all the wars he wants, legally. So when they say, Mr. President, you do not have the authority to go into Iran, he would just sort of, okay. See this paper? Oh, isn't that your signature? Oh, yes it is. Oh, I guess I do. That's exactly right. That's why the war on terror was employed in the marketing of the Iraq war. Because even though there was no concrete evidence in any capacity, in fact, you may remember the September 11th commission said there was more evidence linking Osama bin Laden to Iran than there was linking Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda to Iraq. So in essence, the 9/11 commission, bipartisan of course, spent a lot of money and a lot of time looking at all the documentation, and they in essence made the rationale for Iran possible. They documented it right there. And don't think for 1 second, folks, that if it comes down to it, that will be brought up once again by the powers that be in order to authorize this. But in essence, as long as it's in the war on terror, and that's why they keep saying, you know, Iran is helping the insurgents. Well, that makes them aiding terrorists. So that's why they're doing it, and that's why the whole thing is what it is. But anyway, stay with us, folks. We'll be right back in about 90 seconds with the final hour, the home stretch, Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us.